And so we're just following up from that reading from Russ, and Lori asked the question about channeling and sending curses and stuff. So go ahead, Lori. You had something in mind. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes when I read things that other people have written that have worked in this field, sometimes it seems like the people that we've worked with are a little different, that he's maybe talking more about not a low-level Satanism, because I think he's talking also about a very program person.
Well, I'd say regional more than international.
Yeah, regional versus international, because we've just been dealing with the international, the people that are
royal
bloodline and connected within that web over the nations. So I was asking Addie, as Doug read through the different points about the satanic chosen ones, and I'm looking at the page right now, so I'll just kind of review it. Every one of them have been spiritually bred and selected to serve Satan. I know that would be true of our folks that we've helped. Every one of them have been altered by blood rituals, demons, and demonic augmentation. Every one of them have many altars, etc. Every one of them have been in many satanic rituals, etc. Every one of them have demons placed in them, transferred and acquired in them. They believe they had demonic presence injected into them at the very time of conception to augment their DNA. But then, I think that would be true. And so I was asking Addie, did she identify with all these points? And I guess, you know, about speaking in the twilight, demonically given languages to summon and speak to demons, summon and send demons against a target, that they're trained in highly trained in spiritual warfare tactics. Every one of them can place demons on objects and give them to harm those who receive them. Every one of them are aware that Christians, Christ, and God are their enemy and they must fight against them. And lastly, every one of them believe they are augmented to be superior to humans and that they may transform at some point at the Antichrist triggering into super beings. So, I asked Addie specifically, Addie, do you identify with this? Or what would you subtract from this list, or what would you add to it in the knowledge of yourself?
I think, you know, what I was talking about, because Lori asked if there's like if there's a difference, you know, like between some DID and some, you know, what Russ is talking about, and can I identify with those things? Yes, but I think there's a place where, like, it depends how much of your volitional will you actually still have access to, because there wasn't necessarily for me an awareness of me volitionally doing any of these things, because specifically at 12 there was this submission to that satanic destiny that I inherited that really shattered and surrendered what was left of my will. So from that point on, it was like I was an extension of the satanic kingdom itself. And so when there was, I was explaining to Doug, I didn't go to rituals to summon or to do hexes or things like that. There was nothing external I ever had to do to be connected to the satanic kingdom. It was all internal already, and I'll explain that. Yeah, I'll explain that, how it relates to the DNA, but it's like, especially from 12 on, if there was ever, like, especially regionally, I think people would go to rituals to summon demons or to get powered up or whatnot. Well, where does that go? It's like it charges and releases things into the atmosphere, into the matrix, into the satanic kingdom. And then people like me who are integrated into that kingdom at a DNA level, that is released through me, around me. I'm integrated into it. So there's nothing external I needed to do to interact with powers and principalities. So to further explain that and really what happens at a DNA level at conception, at new birth, at different times, is really there's an interface between one's soul and spirit where Satan himself is inserted between there. So your soul is relating. The spirit doesn't die, but it's like it's encased in death. And in order to relate to the spirit, you go through a cloud of death. You're relating directly to what's like an extension of Satan, soul to his...
Just a little side note here. The human spirit, especially at new birth, is taken into a place of death. It's wrapped in death. He was joined with the Lord as one spirit. But Satan cannot destroy that, but he sequesters it in death. And through these preconception, conception rituals, not demons, but principalities and powers, fallen Elohim, attached to the human spirit. So that the human spirit, instead of being that governed by the Holy Spirit and governing the soul, the mind, emotion, will, it's now actuated by these entities, these fallen Elohim, these fallen angels, attached to the human spirit. And it's the state of passivity renders that person weaponized without them necessarily actively being conscious of what they're doing.
Yeah, and so you have that preconception and conception rituals, and then there's a lot of fragmentation that happens if there's a delay between conception and implantation, and there's ways to interface that, you know, because life begins at conception, so there's ways to interface that life with powers and principalities when there's a delay. And so fast forward a bit at birth, there's also, during this process, part of what the satanic purpose is to, because when, so the Lord, God is ever present. He's not contained in dimensions. He's not like, we relate to the physical, but as Christians, we also relate to the spiritual, and even non-Christians clearly relate to the spiritual, but Satan has desired to be all places at all times as well. So there's this infrastructure in place and an ability to kind of penetrate different dimensions. And part of what he's done with this agenda of pre-implantation, implantation, birth is to create a dynamic where he has a lot of little satellites in the world. So if my spirit or soul is interfaced with him and he can traffic, then he can be where I am. And that's what happens. Like, so if I'm an SRA survivor and I'm going to church in the morning, he's with me where I am because there's an interface. And so that's what's happening around the world. And so part of what is conditioned at a very early age, you know, there's psychological studies that say part of when a mother touches a child is so that the child knows that his or her soul resides in a body. Well, that's broken down by the cult and by these rituals. So there's a transgressing of that boundary. There's not an establishment of that boundary. So whether it's through trauma or lack of touch or this this pre-implantation conditioning, that the child doesn't learn that the soul is supposed to reside in a body. And so there's that overextension of the soul. I remember at times I was very aware of what would be going on within a mile radius around me, sometimes much more than that. And it's just, it's like you become... like it's like radar. You become aware of what's happening a mile beneath, a mile above, and it's like your sphere that you reside in. And for some people, for me, I know that could be hyper extended, especially in a ritual, to where it's like my soul filled the universe. And so that's part of what is going on, is this. And so part of integrating for me as well was learning to reside within the proper domain that I've been given, not to transgress dimensions, not to transgress the boundaries of my body, to exceed, yeah, in different ways. And you part of one of the main gateways between a person's soul and spirit is through their sexuality. So you penetrate the body, you penetrate the soul, you penetrate the spirit, and you add in all the preconception rituals and things like that, and you quite literally have someone that is a not just an extension of Satan in one place, but it's blown to massive proportions, especially when being joined to a hybrid. And that person, it becomes larger and larger capacitated to be this container of, you know, we, it's hard to explain. We think of
a container and a channel.
Yeah, it's like a container, a channel. We think of like hexes and vexes and rituals and these specific things, but it's not like that. It's like if you take a member of the body of Christ, they're supposed to express the nature of Christ, to be his hands and feet, to be an expression not just of love, but of all the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, keep going. It's like they are an expression of Christ himself. Will you take that in a SRA survivor? They are an expression of Satan himself. There's a, you know, when he wanted an object charged, I mean, there's, and I was around it, there was a time when I just didn't touch any food that anyone else is going to eat, because at any point I could be activated with or without my will, with or without my consciousness, and to be releasing demonic charges, releasing all kinds of things. And so it wasn't necessarily about volition. It wasn't necessarily about going out to a ritual to do something. It was about, I have been created into this weapon that can, that at any point Satan or one of my programmers or one of my handlers could activate something in me to be that expression of Satan at any point towards anyone. And so that's what I think we're trying to explain by weaponization, is that you're a weapon in a sense of, yes, there's super soldiers that can be activated to kill in mass destruction, but that's different. That's in a physical realm. It's spiritual too, but for me, I was activated constantly on a spiritual level to release spiritual death, to release lust upon pastors, to release hatred, violence, you name it. And it was like, yes, rituals were going all over, but then it would be concentrated and released through me wherever that was desired to be directed. And I may not even have a clue, and that was most of my life.
Yeah, I remember when we were,
when you're working through, appreciate that, Eddie, is I would be aware of charges before you would get to something, and I could tell you were clueless. And although I would be very worked up and provoked, I mean, we see that with Paul there with the Philippian, the damsel there, the woman there that was being used and trafficked by these handlers to gain wealth through her fortune telling. And Paul was greatly provoked and annoyed by the presence. So, you know, that would always affect me. But you were always oblivious to the fact of what was actually going on, and it was intended that way. You were never supposed to know.
Yeah, and I think part of what, when I say I wasn't aware, there's that which is in a consciousness that's forward that isn't aware, but part of the conflict inside is you are aware of it. You are aware of being used for these purposes, and that's part of the deepest pain, is because, especially in my role, and the way I was, I guess, made by the Lord is deep compassion, and I would rather die than see someone else suffer. I'd rather take it for them than to suffer. Okay, that's not all of me, but at a core level, that's really what was used. And so there was a deception and a belief that if I kept this aspect separate, and I'm, you know, making it simple because it wasn't just one aspect. I was highly fragmented and complex, but if I kept that separate, I was protecting people around me. And really by doing that, it was causing it to be all the more projected out because of the dissociation.
I thought I would just close with an email I sent out to a person who's programmed and more on the prophet side, but it involves a history with a person that was in our assembly, Dan, for 38 years, who is the seminal head and convergence of the previous 13 bloodlines that can be traced back to, you know, Charles IV and Charlemagne, all the way back to Nimrod, actually. It culminated in the bloodline of King George VI. Dan only knew his father, King George VI, as Joseph Collins. And I think that's intentional. I don't know that he ever went by that, but it's the Hitler project. It's not a Himmler project. The Himmler and Lebensborn advanced towards the end by 1944 to a ritual that would create the Collins bloodline. Nick Redfern refers to the Collins elite. There's, you know, controversy as to who this is. It's just a collective title for that which represents the bloodline we're dealing with to bring in the Antichrist. And so I had mentioned this person that we would be meeting with, that it would be essential for you to know your occult history with Dan as Daniel Collins. The Collins bloodline was implemented and inaugurated under the direction of Satan to Adolf Hitler and implemented to Dr. Josef Mengele. This final bloodline was designed to bring in the hybrid Antichrist and false prophet, and it incorporates the previous 13 bloodlines, which were dedicated to bring in the Antichrist and false prophet, which culminated in the bloodline of King George VI. And for this person, it would include Nicholas Romanoff on the false prophet. And period. Then this also incorporates the integration of the iniquitous bloodline of Adolf Hitler, as this Hitler is the seventh and last human Antichrist king in history, as we see in Revelation 17. The third and most significant bloodline that was incorporated or integrated into that which created the Collins bloodline was the DNA of Nimrod, who comes out of the abyss. We see that in Revelation. And is reincarnated, quote-unquote, or resurrected, so to speak, to be the final hybrid Christ. Dan, as this, representing this Christ, represents the seminal head of this newly created Collins bloodline, and he represents this as a Christian. This bloodline was corporately conceived, that is, through all the women that would be templated to produce a quintessential hybrid Christ. This bloodline was corporately conceived in 1944 simultaneously, and another echelon in 1945. It was corporately conceived with every woman who was templated with this bloodline. These conceived embryos were frozen and then incrementally implanted at different stages, beginning in May 14, 1948, up until at least 1990. All these women conceived in these ritual events in 1944 and 1945 represent the human resource domain for the final birth of the hybrid Antichrist and false prophet. In the mix of all this, there was most likely the human embryos of Maria Orsic that were also used on them to function as a cult mother for some. So I just bring that in because this is what we've been dealing with for a number of years. We've known about the Collins for over 20 years. I mean, Dan was the first one to report this. And it's just a collective term that includes the 13 bloodlines, the bloodline of Hitler, and the actual Satan-imparted DNA, which I, through a 10-day fast, was actually given to Hitler, because he qualified through the sacrifice of 6 million Jews for that, for him to receive the DNA source code that would bring in the current contemporary Antichrist. So that DNA source code is incorporated in as the actual purpose for the Collins bloodline, so that those that are born into this so-called family, if you will, they have within their DNA the capacity to conceive a hybrid. I've thought about this, and you know, things are three in the universe. We have breadth, length, and height. We have north, south, east, and west. I mean, we have past, present, and future. When it comes to light, light is in three spectrums. You have the in the center of the light spectrum, you have the luminiferous scale, which is visible light with the colors of the rainbow. When you refracture that light, you see the various colors. That's the luminiferous. It's in the center of the light spectrum. Then on one end, you have the infrared scale. You cannot see it, but you can feel it. On the other end of the light spectrum, you have the ultraviolet. You cannot see, you cannot feel, but that's receive sunburn. So that would be like God the Father. You cannot see or feel. And Jesus Christ, he's the manifest person of Godhead. Holy Spirit, like infrared, you cannot see, but you feel. It's just kind of a shadow in the physical creation of the Trinity. So there are a number of Trinities. You have the H2O, the two atoms of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen. And these two gases, when you combine them together, miraculously produces water. And so water is H2O, but water can be found in three states. It can be found in a vapor state, it can be found in a liquid state, or a frozen state, and yet it's still H2O. So these are just kind of faint adumbrations or representations of the Trinity in the universe. Nathan R. Wood wrote a book called Trinity in the Universe, which is quite amazing. So when God created man, in his image, in the, you know, before man fell, his DNA would have a triple helix. It wouldn't be double, like our DNA now is a double helix. So it would be a triple helix, which would be the spiritual code. It would represent, he would have a light body, he would have a special spiritual capacities that he could walk with God. But God warned Adam that in the day that you sin, dying, you will die. So in the day that Adam sinned, he died, but he didn't die physically or soulically. He died spiritually. So that third strand, which would represent the Trinity created in his image, is now there's only two strands. And what do you have there in place of that third strand, which would be a unique capacity to reflect the glory of God and to have that communion with God? Is spiritual death. There's a sin code there. And so now the transhumanists are seeking to overcome this and to seek immortality and to, you shall be as God, you shall not die. And so they're wanting, in effect, reproduce or replicate that third strand, basically, in all that they're doing. And so what happened in 1944, that third strand was imparted by Satan. And you can't see it, but it is there. It is attached to the sin code, and it is the DNA of Nimrod. And that was originally given to Nimrod when he transmuted in Genesis 10, when he actually became a Gibberim. And through that CERN gate, which we call the Tower of Babel, he was able to ascend through that stargate, because in the original language, not Hebrew, but Babylon means gate of the gods. So he was transmuted. He received the DNA from Satan to become a Gibberim. We see there in Genesis 10. So when he died, he didn't go to Hades or Sheol. He went into the Tartarus or the abyss. That's why Revelation says that when Antichrist ascends, he ascends out of the abyss. And we know prophetically there, which I'm not going to go into it there in Revelation 13, he's first mentioned there as a leopard. And so the leopard goes back to Nimrod in the Babylonian. And the Neo-Babylonian Empire was Nebuchadnezzar, but the original leopard king was Nimrod. And so it's just all there in the prophetic word. And so with the templating and receiving the DNA source code that from Satan, Hitler earned the right to take that into possession, and then to create this Collins bloodline to bring forth what he believed would be the Aryan race, the Übermensch, the Superman, and therefore have the right to rule the world. And to do that, you bring forth this this Aryan Christ, whom we know as the Antichrist. So Laurie asked the question, how do we know in the beginning there was three? Because two does not reflect the image of God.
Okay, all right.
So if God, if he creates man in his own image, there's going to be threes.
And so that third thing, you said it was the sin code?
Well, that,
so that's what's passed down through the father to the children.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, the death code came
the old
when
sin
Adam
nature.
Sinned. And so whatever that third sin represented in terms of the potential reflecting the glory of God, communion with God, died.
So spiritual death is passed down from father to son to daughter to father to son to daughter. Okay.
Romans 5:12, and Adam all die.
And then Satan coming in and replacing it, that makes him the counterfeiter to the Creator.
To give a false life.
And the outcome of that is finally his Christ.
Yeah, that's the whole goal of transhumanism.
And to live forever.
Yeah, yes. It's the transhumanism, you shall not die. Like it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, that because they do not receive the love of the truth, God will send upon them a supernatural deluding influence that leads to error, an energizing supernatural that leads to error, that they might believe, most of your translations have, what is false, but the Greek says they might believe the lie.
That man can be God.
Yeah, Genesis 3, you will not die, you shall be like Elohim. So, like God, or like the gods. You could translate it either way. All right, so that's our update and follow-up. Anything else? Amen.